As a preface, I will say, don't worry, I'm not going to preach about Niagara Falls forever. But I did have an experience up there that was very revealing to me. There is a tower that you can, of course, pay significant amount of money to go up in. And if you go up in that tower, if you look to your right, you see the Canadian Niagara Falls, which are just gorgeous. And if you look to your left, then you see Ferris wheels and go-karts and wax museums and haunted houses and glow-in-the-dark putt-putt golf. And I stood up there in that observation deck and I thought, that shows us the nature of what God wants to create. And that shows us the nature of what humans like to create. We want entertainment and diversion. God creates beauty that takes your breath away. We have a vision of God's nature on the one side and a vision of human nature on the other. Probably nobody said this specifically, but what this whole midway comes from is somebody having said, those falls are beautiful. How can we make a buck off of this? We have a similar contrast in Mark's gospel today. The followers have seen the beautiful way that Jesus advocates, the way of forgiveness and healing. But they can't help asking how it will benefit them. James and John say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. We have seen God's nature, the willingness to lovingly serve others, and now we see human nature. What motivates James and John to make such a bizarre and inappropriate request of Jesus? What evil, or at least what selfish force, pushes them to that question? Is it the devil? We've been reading a lot from Job recently, which has made me want to study how the idea of Satan and the devil developed in our tradition. And I've never been really sure how to envision the devil, but I know evil when I see it. Or do I? Evil rises in us in insidious ways. It's not obvious, but it begins to rise every time we do something not for the glory of God and the good of others, but for our own elevation. Jesus talked about how that human nature comes into play for worldly rulers. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. And he talks about the people of this world who rule it do not take that route. They want to lord it over everyone. And God's nature says, be a servant. Most of us, if we were honest, would say, I'm really not that interested in being someone's servant. I want to be in charge. I want to have status. I want to have control. And the iconic example of that need for control is our familiar story of paradise. Adam and Eve had everything a human being could want or need. But they wanted control. It is difficult for us to choose to be servants. It is difficult for us to accept the grace and gifts of God, acknowledging that we had no part in creating them. Is it the devil that is working in us? Some people say, if you don't believe in a personal devil, then what are we saved from? I believe the answer is that we are saved from ourselves. We are saved from the worst manifestations of our weak and selfish human nature. We're saved from our desperate need to control, even when we already have what we need. We are saved from seeing a man willing to sacrifice himself for others, yet focusing on whether we will have the best seats in the house. Evil, the devil, not obvious, but forces in human nature that push us to make such ungodly requests. One theologian, modern theologian, says this about the devil. When people talk about Satan, like if somebody says Satan is trying to take over, they're not thinking of some supernatural battle up there in the sky. They can give you names and addresses. They know whom they're talking about. We do frequently see evil out there, either in people we consider evil or in the motivation for horrendous things in history like the witch hunts, Auschwitz, terrorism. We see the devil out there. But much of the evil in this world comes in much more subtle forms. It comes when we are confronted with the challenge to serve and to emulate Jesus. And our first question is, will I get points for it? Will I be honored for it? When we ask those questions, like James and John, we begin to separate ourselves from God. And is that not the seed of evil? When we think spirituality should result in our own elevation, most of us have matured enough to stop seeing the devil as a critter with a pitchfork and horns. But we may have missed in another direction, seeing evil only as something out there to be eliminated or at least avoided. But true Christian maturity comes in knowing the insidious ways that evil can present itself to us. It presents itself to us in perfectly reasonable terms. It presents itself to us in perfectly rational terms, something that we can easily and effectively rationalize. Evil often looks as innocuous to our vision as a man simply asking to gain status by his decision to follow Jesus. If we could focus on God's nature and not on human nature, we would do well. We would be saved. God's nature takes away our breath with its beauty, whether that beauty is physical, spectacular beauty like Niagara Falls, or subtle like the beauty of one human being loving and serving another with no thought of reward. I want to take on God's nature. I want to see as God sees. On my really good days, I will say, keep your diversions and your machines. Keep your Ferris wheel and everything created by the hands and nature of humans. I came here to see what God has made.